Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
White Christmas. So we do have that video. We'll throw it up on the church Facebook page and stuff like that. And we just want you to just push the share button. How many know where the share button is? You know, just push the share button. What's amazing is if two or three people even just share that video, every time it gets shared, we actually see 200 to 300 more people look at it. So every time we share it, it just has a broader impact and a broader reach. So just a couple little tools, little things trying to help find a way for you to invite people out and get them out. How many know that people need Jesus? I know Jesus loves people so much, and he's ready to do something great for their lives. So we want them to come and experience a white Christmas. And this week, next week, and the week after, we're going to be preaching kind of based out of a couple verses talking about a white Christmas. So we want everybody to have a white Christmas. Now, the first verse, Psalm 51, verse 7, says, "Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow." Now you see, David, he was a king, and David fell on his head one day and broke all the Ten Commandments, totally messed up his life. But when he realized he had all this guilt and all this shame, he said, I want to bring this into your presence. God, I want to uncover and unpack all of this stuff, and I want to bring it to you. And he trusted, David believed, he said, if I come and I open my heart to you, that you will come and you will wash me whiter than snow. And so we want everybody this Christmas to experience a white Christmas. I mean, a Christmas where you're free from hang-ups, you're free from blockages, you're free to experience the fullness of God and free to be someone who demonstrates and manifests the fullness of God. So wash me and I will be whiter than snow. And you know, when you came to Jesus and you accepted him as your Savior, it says that his blood cleanses you. His blood cleanses you. And that's where the whole aspect of whiter than snow comes from. The blood of Jesus cleanses you whiter than snow, removes every impediment, every sin, every single issue, every single thing you may have committed, have committed, will commit, think you, thought you committed, whatever. God literally removes it all and brings you to his table, and you're a child and a son seated at the table of the Lord because of the wonderful blood of Jesus. So we want everybody to experience the full manifestation of that. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says, "Come now and let us reason together." Now here's God speaking to his own people, says, "Listen, come. Come here, let's have a discussion." And if God wants to reason with you, he's going to win the argument. But he wants to reason with you. He wants to bring you into a proper mindset. He says, "Come, let us reason together," says the Lord. He says, "Though your sins are like scarlet," he says, "they shall be white as snow." And then he says, "If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good and the fat of the land." So, you know, we've got to be willing and obedient to trust him, to come to him and lean on him and trust him for this complete and full redemption that he offers. The Message paraphrase or translation, it's more of a paraphrase. He says, "Come and sit down and let's argue this out." This is God's message. If your sins are blood red, they'll be white as snow. If they're crimson, it says they'll be like wool. If you'll willingly obey me, you'll feast like kings. But if you're willful and stubborn, you'll die like a dog. That's right. God says so. You know, God says, really, God is for you. God wants you to walk in his blessing. God wants to free you from everything that hinders you. He wants to open up your heart, free you from every slant or twist or impediment, and he wants to cause you to walk in his goodness and in his grace. So we want this to be a white Christmas for everybody, right? How many are dreaming of a white Christmas? And I'm not talking about snow. I mean a white Christmas where, you know, I'm going to go through this Christmas and I'm going to have resolution. I'm going to have resolve. I'm going to have freedom from things that hinder me, and I'm going to walk in the fullness of God. So we want everybody to have a white Christmas. You know, even that song, it says, "I'm dreaming of a white Christmas." You know, sometimes you might be dreaming of what would it be like to really, like Cheryl was just dreaming right there. What would it be like if God's word was really fully realized in my life? I mean, what would it be like if you know, in Corinthians where it says, whenever there's a need, I can say, I've got it. That would be awesome. Cheryl was dreaming out loud that I was in a church that was in a need and I was trying to help them and minister to them. But I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if I could just pay off the mortgage for them? If I could say, and you're going to be taken care of for a year. Your salary's taken care of. You don't have to worry about finances. Says, I've got it. And Cheryl was dreaming out loud about what would that be like to be able to manifest what the Bible says, to be everything God says I can be. And you know, sometimes that's a dream, and a lot of people are dreaming, and some people at Christmas are dreaming about having a good Christmas. Some people are dreaming that this year when I have to go hang out with my family, it won't be like last year. Some people are dreaming that we might actually get along. Some people are dreaming that it'd be neat to even be with my family because I haven't been with them for years. Some people are dreaming about, oh, I wish it could be like this or I wish it could be like that. Well, let's quit dreaming and let's have a white Christmas. Let's quit dreaming and let's let what Jesus did, let's let what God has done through the coming of Jesus, let's let it really touch our lives. Let's let it really genuinely affect every aspect of our lives. Would that be a good idea? Okay, we're going to talk about that then. So I'm dreaming. Many would love to have the Christmas that would fulfill their dreams. And Jesus coming into the world enables us to have the Christmas of our dreams. This Christmas, your heart can be open and free. Just turn to your neighbor and say, this Christmas, your heart can be open and free. Hallelujah. All right, so we're going to get into some stuff. And this may seem like it gets more messy before it gets better, but it's going to be okay. All right? Are you ready? Now, how many know Nelson Mandela passed away this week? That's sad. There's a guy who I have a great deal of respect for, and it's amazing what he did. I remember even when I was a kid and just knowing that there was a nation in the world that had those kind of rules, that still operated with those kind of values and beliefs, that still subjected another race because of the color of their skin. I can remember going like, well, what's going on? I can't believe there's this kind of misunderstanding and hatred and things in the world. There was a guy who was imprisoned, considered a terrorist, and for 27 years literally was breaking rocks. He was breaking rocks at Robben Island. And there's a guy who literally befriended his captors, befriended the people that tortured him, befriended them. And you know, when he was inaugurated as the Prime Minister of South Africa, he invited to be there, right there as a part of the special folks who were invited to be there, the fellow who was the warden. And he said, I want you to be there. I love you, and I you're a significant person in my life, and I want my captor to be in the front row when I'm inaugurated. Not so I can rub it in your face, but because I want you to be a part of this journey. Isn't that amazing? Now, I'd want him there so I could rub it in his face. But, you know, he wanted him there because I want you to be a part of this healing process, a part of this journey going forward. Got a couple of quotes from Nelson Mandela. I hope you can see those there. But it says, he says, as I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew that if I didn't leave my bitterness and my hatred behind, I'd still be in prison. I know that's hard to see over there, but let me read it for you again. As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison. That was in 1990. I mean, that wasn't that long ago when you think about it. You think about some of the horrible stuff and some of the ways we've treated people, that's years ago. But, you know, a lot of it's still going on in the earth today. A lot of people still need to experience freedom today, and some people really need a white Christmas. Another thing Nelson Mandela said, he said, forgiveness liberates the soul, it removes fear, and that is why it is such a powerful weapon. Forgiveness liberates the soul, it removes fear, and that is why it is such a powerful weapon. Isn't that amazing that he would define forgiveness as a weapon? And you know, forgiveness really is. It's a weapon in the hand of a loving people that completely dismembers the things that would promote hatred and promote fear and promote bitterness and promote separation. So we need to be a people who understand what it is to walk in forgiveness. You need to experience it and you need to walk in it. How many know that's true? I know Philip Yancey wrote his book about grace, and in his book of grace, he actually said that bitterness and unforgiveness is like the elevator music of our culture. He said bitterness and unforgiveness are like the elevator music of our culture. It's like the music that's in every person you run into. The background music in their lives is, I'm offended, I'm frustrated, I'm hurt, I feel betrayed, I am disgusted with someone. And literally that seems to be the predominant thing that is working in so many people's lives. And you know, if you're really going to be free, I mean, when you come to Jesus, you get forgiven. But you know what? You're never going to really walk in the fullness of that. You're never really going to have a white Christmas unless you get rid of the things that offend you, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, and all those things that rage in your heart. And if we're going to have a white Christmas and you're going to see reconciliation in all these things and all these issues, then we need to be a people who can walk past and walk through offenses. Amen. I know it's going to be a great little Christmas sermon. Be all happy and warm and fuzzy. All right. So Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Then he said to his disciples, he said, it is impossible. Listen to that now. He said, it is impossible that no offenses should come. Let me read that again. It is impossible that no offenses should come. Let me read that again. It is impossible that no offenses should come. It's impossible that no offenses should come. Amen. I mean, it's impossible that no offenses should come. And then he goes on to say, he says, but woe to those through whom they come. Matthew 24:10. And then many, and that word literally means the majority, and then many, the majority, will be offended. Now that's a pretty nasty statement, isn't it? I'm at church today, and then the majority will be offended. So we all came to church this morning, and the majority of people are trying to experience this meeting and the relationships they have through veils of conflict, offense, and unforgiveness. Who is that? I just want to raise your hand now. The majority, it is impossible for offenses not to come, and the majority will be offended. Say, Lord, bless the reading of his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18, verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won over than a strong city, and their contentions separate them like the bars of a castle. Isn't this a nice Christmas message? Merry Christmas. Look at this. A brother offended is harder to be won over than a strong city, and their contentions separate them like the bars of a castle. Their contentions, their gates, their ramblings on about their offense literally are like bars of a castle that separate them relationally in every other way. And the NIV says a brother offended is more unyielding, than a fortified city. You know, you need to get over that. I am not going to get over that. No, really, you need to just kind of confess that and let it go. You have no idea what I've been through. Don't even talk to me about it. Oh, really, you need to let that go. And even if I acknowledge that you were hurt and you believe you're hurt, I mean, you still need to let it go. You don't know what happened to me. A brother, and it doesn't say a person. It doesn't say a random individual. It doesn't say, you know, some person that you have very little to do with offended is harder to win. But a brother. And you know, when you're in relationships that are very close, when you get offense in relationships that are very, very close, it's harder to reconcile those things. See, because sometimes people you don't know, if they offend you, you just blow them off, have nothing to do with them. But you see, people, you have higher expectations of people that are in your family, of people that you work with or have had long, intimate relationships with. You have higher expectations of their behavior. And some people have way higher expectations of their pastor. And some people can get really offended with their pastor because I am in a relationship with you and you blew it and I am highly offended. And they get really highly offended because I really find that the level of your expectation of the individual you're in the relationship with also to the same degree, the level of the offense you begin to walk in. And it's very hard. And it says, listen to this now. A brother offended is more unyielding. They will not yield. I will not yield more so than a fortified city. I mean, in their day, you know, a fortified city, we're talking about a place that was almost impossible to take. It was so difficult. So we're saying, man, when people get deep down, messed up and rooted in the realm of offense, it can get really ugly. And you're not going to have a white Christmas if you decide that you're going to camp there and you're going to stay there. In fact, you'll have an adequate Christmas. You'll get through Christmas, and then the next Christmas will come, and you'll still pack down your offense, and you'll still go through your stuff until all kinds of other parts of your life begin to unravel, and it becomes messy, and those things just go totally sideways, and then you're not having any Christmas at all. Pastor, I mean, it's Christmas. You're not going to do this next week with my friends. You're not going to do this next week when I bring my friends, right? No, actually, next week I'm going to preach a nice sermon. So it'll be okay. But this will be nice, too. We'll finish nice, I promise. Is it really 12 minutes after 12? Sorry? It's 10 to 12. Okay, sorry. This is giving me the wrong time, so I better throw it out. Can you, good catch, honey. You know, just wave at me when it's quarter after so I can, you know. Oh, actually, maybe even earlier than that. How many say 5 after 12 would be good? It's 11, thank you. Appreciate that. It's just my clock said it was after 1, and I'm like, holy cow, if I preached that long already, it can't be that. How many would be highly offended if I was preaching until after 1? All right. All right, so a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Their contentions separate them like the bars of a castle. Wow. Okay, let's talk about things that may offend you or things that may cause offense. Are you ready? Betrayal. How many have ever been betrayed? How many can't raise your arm no matter what happens? You know, betrayal. David had a very close friend. His name was Ahithophel. And Ahithophel was a very, very close advisor of his. And when his son decided he wanted to take over his dad's kingdom, Ahithophel literally went over to his son's side and became his advisor. What some people don't know is that Ahithophel was actually the uncle of Bathsheba. So Ahithophel might have had an unresolved issue with David and the whole Bathsheba thing. And he might have had something that got in between their relationship. And David said, Ahithophel and I were so close. We went together into the presence of God. We went and we worshiped God together. We experienced his presence together and rejoiced before the Almighty together. And yet he says, I am so betrayed. I am so broken because this relationship has gone sideways. And David said, oh, that betrayal, it is so hard for me to handle that type of a betrayal. Has anybody ever been betrayed? Has anybody ever been in a relationship where that person has just blown you up in a big way and they have ripped you apart and dismissed you and there's just total, complete betrayal? Anybody? That's nasty stuff. And how many think that might offend you? Might offend you, amen. Just describe your betrayals to your neighbor. Go ahead, just... False accusation. Now, actually, this one, sometimes betrayal, I can't do anything about it. You know, it says, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. As much as it depends on you. So, you know, sometimes you got to do your part to live at peace with people. But if they're going to betray you, walk out on you, treat you like trash, literally, and if they're unwilling to be reconciled, all you can do is nod and smile and say, Father, I forgive them. That was pretty ugly, but I forgive all that, and let's just move on. And that's really, really hard, you know. But then it's false accusation. This could cause you to be offended. Now, false accusation drives me crazy because it's when people are saying things about you that aren't true. Or they're making decisions about you that aren't true. Or they're trying to take a look at your actions and say, he did this because of this. I know that. And then they develop this whole scenario. And I hate it because... I desperately want to go say, that's not true about me. I'm a nice person. I really didn't think like that. I really didn't. You did. But you know, whatever people have in their mind, they build whole scenarios. People can have whole fights with you and you weren't even there. They can go, I'd like to go see him. But you know what? If I go see him and talk to him, it'll probably go like this. He'll do this, he'll say that, then he'll say that, then he'll probably do that, and this will happen, that. People have had massive arguments with me, and I've never even been there. And then they're mad at me for the argument that took place in their own head. And you go, please invite me, I'm really a nice person, honest to God, it'll be okay. And you know what, even if it isn't okay, I promise to fight until one of us yields. I'll stay there. Bring your lunch because I love you enough that we're going to win together. Hey, but, you know, it's so awful. Like, people come and say, oh, I know you. I had lunch a couple weeks back with a guy. He asked to have lunch with me. And he runs a ministry in town. And so I sat down. I said, hi, how are you? And I started talking to him. I said, well, let me tell you a bit about us. And he said, oh, I know you. I've never met the man before. But I mean, I know you. I said, okay, there's three of me. So I need to know, do you know the one that everybody hates? Do you know the one that is sitting in front of you? Or do you know the one who walks on water, calls forth power? Because there's at least three of me out there. But the real one is right here face to face, and I want to know you. But I just love it when people do that. But, you know, false accusation, it drives me nuts. I want to be understood. I don't like to be misunderstood. How many feel a little bit like that too? You know, it's awful. And the hardest part about this, though, is if you try to be understood, that reinforces their feelings about you. Oh, now you're trying to defend yourself. But I wasn't in your head when you had the problem. Oh, yeah, you were there. Honestly, I wasn't. I was watching a football game. Well, you should have been there. See, football is a problem. It's just, anyway, but it happens. I've done it. I've had somebody look at me funny and they go, ooh, that was a look with intention. You know what? They've probably been discussing something at home. They have probably created this. You know what? They probably think this, think that. And then the next thing, God bless you. How are you today? Merry Christmas. Have you ever run into somebody you're like, yeah, you doing? And they're like, good. Like, what was that all about? So if you ever see me like that, you know that I've had an argument with you that you weren't invited to, and I'm now offended by you. Okay, so how many know that happens? Come on. All right, rejection. How many suffered a little rejection? There's 10 guys on the field, and Bobby and Freddie, they were going to pick teams. Not that Bobby, another Bobby. You know, and then you get picked last all the time, you know? Was it only me who experienced that? Or actually, it never happened to me. But anyways, but it's a terrible thing. It's awful when you walk through rejection. It's like, you know, my mom, God bless her, she's in the room. No, she's not. She's counting. Oh, praise God, I can talk about her. Okay. When I was a kid in school, everybody wore Levi's and wore Greb boots, you know, and jean jackets, and that was it. My mom bought me clothes from the Carhartt catalog. So I had Carhartt corduroys, and then I had these little sweater vests and little shirts. So here I am going to church with all my friends, and they got, you know, Greb boots and jeans and a jean jacket, and I walk in. Hey, everybody, and oh, nice corduroy pants and sweater vest, Thomas. Whoa, that's really hot. Yeah. That was really rough growing up. How many else had the sweater vest, Carhartts? Put up your hands right now. Every eye closed, all heads bowed. Jesus, help us. Sometimes it's like that. I was talking to somebody this week. They've got a little child who's only 5 years old and is telling them now, these are the clothes I have to wear. 5 years old. Say, I'm not wearing that. You know, I got to wear this stuff. And I'm like, holy cow. I mean, it's starting really early, isn't it? It's bizarre stuff. So I always felt back then when my friends told me this was crazy, nobody dresses like that. I said, no, everybody will dress like that. I'm not where people are. I'm on the bleeding edge of fashion. So if you didn't like the sweater vest period, blame me. You know, abuse. You know, I'm amazed. I'm so grateful to be able to pastor, and I'm so grateful at the openness that people have sometimes when they come and share with us and when we minister to people. And when I hear some of the things people have been through, I just go, wow, I have had a wonderful life. When I think of some of the abuses and things that people have experienced at the hands of people who love them or should have loved them, and I hear the atrocities that have done to people, especially to women, it just drives me crazy. And I cannot believe what champions, some people, just incredible champions in this room who've been through hell and back, but you know what, still forgive, refuse to walk in offense, and have given everything to Jesus and are not going to be victims, but they're going to be champions of God's purpose in their life. You know, and it's amazing. But, you know, boy, I mean, if abuse is a really, I'd be offended if somebody abused me, you know. People get abused. You know, Joyce Myers, I don't even know Joyce Myers. You know Joyce Myers? You know, a couple years ago, Joyce Myers has always been pretty open about her life. But a couple years ago, she preached at a Hillsongs conference in Australia. Big Hillsongs conference, thousands of people. And she said, I'm gonna minister right now about offense, and I'm going to minister about bitterness. And she began to share, and she says, 80% of the room, you're going to respond. Whenever I do this, 80% of the room responds and needs ministry and prayer. But she said, I'm going to tell you something today that I've never told another group of people ever, but I feel I should share it with you today. She said, my father raped me over 200 times. And she said, when I say over 200 times, it is over 200 times, and I know the exact number over 200 times, and I still to this day remember every single one of those experiences. I was like, what? And she said, some people say, you know, you gotta, you know, forget so you can properly forgive. She says, I've not forgotten any of it. I've chosen not to hold it against my father. I've chosen not to remember it and cause it to be the fixed event that goes takes my life forward. It does not shape me. That did happen to me, but it does not shape my future, and my life didn't end back there. I'm moving on. But she says, I have not forgotten it, but I every day choose to walk in forgiveness over that issue. She said, then my father was not well, lived in another city, and then her dad needed a place to live, and so she felt the Lord told her to buy a house for him and move him closer to where she is so she could take care of him. And she had a very estranged relationship with him still even at that point. And he moved closer to where she was, and she began to spend more and more time with him. And then she said after 4 years, he finally broke down, and he said, I have been carrying such guilt and shame all of my life for the way I treated you and the way I harmed you. And he said, would you forgive me? And she did, and she led him to the Lord, and about a year later, he went on to be with the Lord. And then she said this. She said that I would not trade any one of those experiences for where I am today. I do not wish that any of it did not happen. I am grateful for what I've been able to overcome. I am grateful for the victory I walk in today. And I'm not glad it happened or would desire it to happen. But she says, I wouldn't change any of it because of the victory and the joy that I have of overcoming that and seeing it turned around for good. And I went, ouch, Aroonie, wow. But I mean, a lot of people offended, a lot of people stuck, a lot of people don't have a Merry Christmas, and it's not a white Christmas because there's offense. And the offense is rooted in some very, very real issues. It isn't, you know, Fred keeps taking my parking spot every Sunday. Although some people, that's the size of the thing that gets them upset. Then humiliation, where people literally humiliate you, they demean you, they talk you down and mess you up no matter what. They are bound and bent to make you feel this big all the time, and they insist on humiliating you everywhere you go. How many enjoying the sermon so far? All right, so there's five things right there that might cause an offense. Just might, okay? Now, why did I give you those? Because I gave you those in the order that Jesus experienced them. So let's take a look at it here. You see, things that might cause offense. In the order of Jesus' experience, Judas betrayed him. False accusations, he comes before the priests and they falsely accuse him before Herod. They lie about him and he's right there and everything that's being said about him is totally wrong and he's just like, he is the Son of God. He is the one who created every single thing. But he loves these people enough to keep his mouth shut like a lamb. He didn't defend himself, do anything. And here he is, completely, totally, falsely accused. Then rejection. Peter, somebody who was in his inner circle, somebody he loved and cared for and leaned on and helped. All of a sudden, there he is at his worst moment. He looks over, he sees Peter, you know, throw me a bone, Peter. Give me a little bit of strength at that moment. And with curses, three times he denies that I even know the man. And he walks through some rejection. Then abuse. I mean, these Roman soldiers, they were professionals. They knew how to beat people. Like, they got paid to beat people. They were professional beaters. And they beat everything out of him completely. And then they took what was left, which was a lump of flesh that they say was so broken and so beaten up that you couldn't even recognize him. I mean, it literally was a lump of flesh up there that you couldn't figure, is that a man up there? What is that? They took him, his hands and his feet, and they nailed him to a cross, and they hung him in the air, and people spat at him and humiliated him and talked him down and misused him and abused him for the whole afternoon. Now that's all the stuff that Jesus went through. Can I get an amen? That's what he went through. That's what Jesus went through. Now, let's try and turn the corner. Say, turn the corner, Pastor. All right, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. Interesting that it would use that word, arm yourselves also with the same mind. You know, Christ went through what he went through. He experienced all that he did. And since he did that, therefore, it says, arm yourselves also with the same mind. You see, you're going to go through stuff. You're going to experience stuff in this life. You're going to have offenses and disappointments. I know you do. I've seen them all over Facebook. Some of you can't help yourself. But it says, arm yourself with the same mind as Jesus. If somebody trashes you, you don't jump on Facebook and give a rant. It says, arm yourself because you're going to have problems. You're going to go through difficulties. Arm yourself because you know what? As I read earlier, it's impossible for offenses not to come. Well, I'd just like to not get offended. I'd like to not have things happen that would cause offense. Why can't we just have that? Jesus said it. It's impossible that offenses won't come. That's why it says, since he suffered in his flesh, he totally identified with you. He went through every single experience that is possible for you. And because he did that, now you need to arm yourselves by having the same mind as he had. Amen, Pastor. What's this all about, Pastor? It's about having a white Christmas. It's about, don't be phony through Christmas. Don't endure Christmas. Don't try to tolerate the Christmas. Really have a white Christmas. Really be free. Really be authentically you in every experience, in every relationship. Really be in a place where your heart is totally whole, totally healed, and totally open, present and real with every person you meet. It'd be good to even do that in church on Sunday. We're pretty authentic. We're pretty real. Yeah, we don't like a lot of phoniness around here. Now listen, here it is. The message says, since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more, learn to think like him. Since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more, think like him. Come on, learn to think like him. Thank you, Pastor. That's awesome. You're in the drive-thru. Just a few experiences that I've had. You know, you're in the drive-thru. And you got four cars in front of you and several behind you. And yet for some reason, the lady behind you is honking the horn at you because she thinks you could be closer to the bumper in front of you. I'm like, I'd like to give some hand gestures. I want to get out of the car and go, lady, we're in a line up here. You know, we're not going to get through this any faster. Take a pill. You know, and then I'm fuming. Then for the rest of the day, the whole day, I'm going like, Kelly, holy cow, you wouldn't believe it. I'm going through the drive-thru this morning. I got this lady. I mean, I got a car in front of me, car's behind her. Like, what am I going to do? I mean, lady, if you didn't want to go through the drive-thru, why didn't you walk in? And then the whole rest of my day, Cheryl, you won't believe it. I'm in the drive-thru. This lady freaked me out. Carly phones, Dad, I was in the drive-thru today. Oh, my God. This just drove me crazy. Arm yourself with the mind of Christ. You know, just maybe she just got a call and something terrible's going on with her kid at home and she's like in this line looking backward, looking forward. I got to get through this line. Oh my goodness, I need to get to my kids quickly. I mean, just maybe there's something really going on with that lady that is very sensitive. Maybe she really does need to get through the line faster. She's like, oh my God, I got to get through this line. But you're just thinking, what an annoying person. Maybe, just maybe, there's something really desperately wrong here, and this person needs you to cut them some slack and cut a break, and don't get all freaked out and ruin your day. Maybe there's something really going on there. I mean, and then, you know, I'm in line, and, you know, you got people at the cash registers, and, you know, the grocery stores want to hire and not pay a lot, so you got people at the cash registers, and you know, you're pulling up and you're in the, first you're in the, you know, 1 to 8 line and somebody in front of you's got 14 items, you know, and I'm counting. And then when they turn around and look at me, I'm like, give them the death stare. You're like, And then I'm looking ahead, you know, the kid who's doing the things. And ladies should be tellers, not boys. You know, I know that's terrible. Was that sexist? I'm really sorry. But I find girls are a lot better at that. Sometimes I see a young guy there, I'm like, oh, that's going to be a problem. But anyways. But you get up there, and it's like, you know, pressing all the keys and doing stuff. And I'm like, and then getting your chains. We dropped the change on the floor, and then it's this and that. And I gave you a 20. Are you sure it was a 20? It was a 20. I thought it was a 10. 10s are a different color. We do that here. You know, just maybe, he hasn't had time, and he got called in. He's taking this shift. He's got to do it because he's worried about his finances, because he's got debt up to here on his school bill. And just maybe he's got an exam tomorrow, and he's freaking out because I'd rather be home studying, but I'm here trying to take care of this. Just maybe he's about to have a complete breakdown because he's stressed right out to the max. I don't care. Give me the proper change. I know these are all simpler things. They're not, you know, rape and all kinds of other things. But these are sometimes the size of things that wrecked my day. How stupid is that? Then you're in Costco, you know. I love the people that Costco's a day out. Right? And I love the people who go to Costco for lunch. And then you're trying to get down an aisle, and there's 15 carts waiting for the lady with the little toaster oven to give them a little sliver of something, you know. And then they go around and they come back. Martha, that was really good. It was good. And I'm like, can you please move? You know? Possibly you're behind an older guy, and he's in a pair of sweatpants and slippers. I know. See, I would think that's pretty ridiculous. But it's possible. There's an old guy in sweatpants and a pair of slippers. And he's buying containers full, a year's supply of tapioca pudding. And beside him is a young lady. And you don't know why this is all taking so long, but possibly this man knows he's only got a week to live. And he loves Costco. And he loves tapioca pudding. And he loves his granddaughter so much that she's there with him. This is a very meaningful experience for him. But you don't see that. You just see somebody who's standing in front of your dill pickles. You know, that would have been my dad in the last week of his life. He couldn't get on a pair of pants. So I went to Giant Tiger and got him these cheap sweatpants, and he was horrified that it was all he could get on. And he couldn't wear his shoes because his feet were so swollen, and he had to wear these open-back slippers. And it's the middle of December, but he wants to go to Costco with his granddaughter that he loves, and he wants to buy tapioca pudding. And we still have it years later. But you know, sometimes we're going through our world, we're going through our life, and we did not arm ourselves with the same mind of Christ. And I'm not offended at all that you laughed at the story about the guy with the track pants and the open slippers, even though I was talking about my dad. Because you know what? It is that way. But you know what? Sometimes, honestly, we need to wake up and smell the coffee and realize that people around us need a little bit of respect. Okay, boy, this is an awesome Christmas sermon. All right, are we having fun yet? All right, look now. We're going to quickly turn a corner. You ready? Three reasons why we can forgive. Three reasons. Here you go. It's real good. Here they come. Number one, you know why I can forgive? Because I need forgiveness too. You know why you need to drop resentment? Because You know what? You've created a pile of your own stuff too. So, you know, everybody needs some forgiveness. In Matthew 18, 21 to 35, you can go read it yourself later. But Jesus was talking about forgiveness in the context of this. And then he said, let me tell you a story. He said, there was a master who had a servant who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, 10,000 talents means that he owed him billions of dollars. So Jesus went way over the top. He said, there's a servant who came crying and said, I am so in debt, it's ridiculous. I need you to help me. I need you to give me a break. I can't repay this debt. And it says the master said, I forgive you the billions of dollars. And then that guy, forgiven the billions of dollars, it says that he went out and he found one of his servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is about $10,000. So the guy who was just forgiven billions of dollars suddenly runs into a guy who owes him a fraction of that, and he throws him in jail until it's all repaid. But then it says the master who'd forgiven it all heard about it, and he came and he found that guy, and he said, if you can't forgive that, I'm not going to forgive you. And he threw him into prison. And then Jesus adds the tag on the bottom, and he says, it's the same way with you. If you who've been forgiven so much can't cut somebody else some slack. Amen, Pastor. Man, I'm so inspired by this service. I was good last week. Amen. By the sermon from last week. Amen. But you know what? We can all forgive. I can forgive. I can let stuff go. I can have a white Christmas this year without any hang-ups, without any unresolved issues. I can literally have a white Christmas because I have been so completely, overwhelmingly forgiven. I am more than able to forgive others. Amen. You can do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can do it. I know you can. Number two, really quick. You need to recognize the real enemy in this. You don't fight against Bobby, Freddy, or Susie. I'm not talking about that Bobby or that Susie or the other Freddy. I'm saying, you know what? You got to realize people are not the issue. Sometimes people are the agency through which you feel these things and get these things, but that is really not the problem. You need to have some mercy and some grace on them and delight in being merciful because they're not the issue. The real issue is we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but there are evil forces behind this trying to screw up your day. And you know what? You got to recognize that that's not even the battle. Stop getting pulled down into these stupid little things. Just love people on purpose no matter what and forgive all the time because you have been abundantly forgiven. Number three. Thank you for the clapping. I appreciate that. People were walking out in droves. I was like concerned. Okay. Number three. I've received God's love. Holy moly. I've received God's love. You received God's love? You know what it is? Oh, Jesus. I mean, it says we love because he first loved us. And he has loved us. And then he says, if anyone says I love God yet hates his brother, he's a liar. I'm not saying that's just the word there. If you say you love God and you then can also say out of the same mouth, I hate somebody. You know, look what it says. Anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. You know what? We've all received God's love. We can give God's love. And I'm getting a little bit older. Did you know that? And it's nice getting older because less things bug you. You let a lot more just roll off. You let it go. And you know what? Forgiveness isn't just, forget about it. That's not what that's about. It's not forget about it, because whatever is done, I mean, sin has massive consequences for individuals. And not next week, but the week after, I'm going to talk more about genuine forgiveness and how to really walk in it, what it is and what it isn't. It's not just, never mind, no big deal. That's not forgiveness. What Jesus did on the cross, what happened there, that was forgiveness. I mean, he paid a penalty for something. He paid a big price for something. That's really, really genuine forgiveness. But you know what? You can forgive people and may never have reconciliation, may never even have the opportunity to. They may move to Taiwan or never want to see you again, but you can forgive them whether they want to reconcile or not. But you know what? The consequences, those people are still going to walk in stuff and they're still going to walk in that pain. I don't know why they want to. But you know what, if you don't deal with that, I mean, you got to lay this stuff at the cross. You got to take this to Jesus. You got to hand that over to him or you're really still carrying it. And it's messy stuff. But we want a white Christmas, amen? I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. I'm dreaming of a body of people that walk, you know, not without offense, but they walk in a healthy way through offense. Because Jesus says it's impossible that offenses won't come. Amen? And say, therefore, it says, in light of that, looking at how Jesus suffered, what he went through, arm yourselves with the same mindset. What's the same mindset? He who had no sin became sin for us that we might be redeemed. He took all my sin. He absorbed all the hurt and the shame so that I could be totally set free, so that I can have a white Christmas. Now, we're going to slide over to the communion table. Are you ready to slide? I'll take these with me just in case I need them. Just that one quote again. Show that for me again, right? As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew that if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison. You know, this Christmas, have a white Christmas. Have a merry Christmas. I just challenge you today, don't let bitterness or unforgiveness go out the door with you today. Oh, that's hard, man. That's really not. I'm not saying don't take the emotion with you. I'm not saying, you know, forget about the event, because you never will. But I'm saying never, ever let it shape your future in a negative way. Cover it with forgiveness. And if it ever comes up again, forgive it again. It's not forgive and forget. It's forgive and forgive. See, God, no, it says God remembers our sin no more. No, God says that I choose to remember your sin no more. God is omniscient. He knows everything. He'd have to stop being who he is to forget about it. But he has chosen to put it all upon his son, and he's thrown it all over here, and he's put a no fishing sign, and he says, I'm not going to dig into it anymore. I'm not going to raise it up anymore. I'm not going to bring it up ever again. It is gone. I throw it in the sea of a place where I will never remember that again. But you got to say, that is not going to shape my relationship anymore. Those issues, those unresolved things. You know, some people walk in a spirit of offense all the time. It's like they're looking for offense. It's like they're touchy. You know, there's a spirit of touchiness. And you got to walk on eggshells because, ooh, you know, that's the person who gets easily offended. You got to say, that's not me. That's not me anymore. I'm not the person who gets easily offended because I'm loved. I know who I am. And I have armed myself and I've learned to think like Jesus. And so I don't get offended. Can I get an amen? All right, so we're going to come to the table. And 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like gold and silver, your aimless conduct received by traditions of your fathers, but you were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without blemish or without spot. That's really good. Did you know that Mary was a virgin? Did you know that if you have a child in your womb, that that child does not share the blood of the mother? That child's blood is uniquely its own. The mother's blood and the child's blood never, ever intertwine. And Mary was a virgin. And you see, generally, the mother and the father do contribute to the blood type. Now, they found out about blood typing years ago. A guy named, I think I got his name here somewhere, Carl Landsteiner. Carl Landsteiner found out about blood typing. And he found out that there's different types of blood, because he was trying to do blood transfusions with victims of war and people on the battlefield. And some it worked for and some it didn't. And he was troubled. He's going, why is it that it works for some and doesn't for others? Then he realized that people have different types of blood. And he's the one who came up with this whole typing of blood. But you know that Mary did not contribute at all to Jesus' blood. The only factor that contributed to the blood of Jesus was the Father. He was the only one who contributed. And that's why the Bible says it's precious blood, because it was Jesus' blood. But it's precious blood because Acts chapter 20 verse 28 says that we were purchased with the blood of God. Literally, Jesus had God's blood. And because Jesus, who was born of that virgin but did not share in that mother's type at all, had her own blood type, that virgin, that blood was precious blood, and it was the very blood of God. And that blood speaks freedom for you, and it speaks redemption for you. So we're here today to come to a table, and we're here today to come and to remember victory. I was talking with somebody, I said, that's why we call it Good Friday, right? Call it Good Friday. And it's interesting, it's Good Friday. I mean, God died for me, but it's Good Friday. Yes, it is. It's good because God took all my hurt, all my pain, all my sin, guilt, shame, boom. He took it all. And now you know, if somebody else takes that from you, that's good. It's really good. And so we're grateful for that. So we're going to celebrate today at the table. We're going to celebrate and commit ourselves that we're going to have a white Christmas. I'm not going to take offense anywhere. You know, it literally says when you come to the table, it says you should examine yourself. And it doesn't say examine yourself to see if you're worthy, but it says examine yourself because you don't want to come in an unworthy manner. See, there's a way of doing the table that is not right. And it's not because you got sin in your life or you know, your heart's not right with God. An unworthy manner would to be not to treat this with respect and not to treat this with an understanding that there's a powerful revelation of God's power and there's a real breakthrough here at the table. This isn't just some elements and a little exercise. I am literally recognizing and identifying with God, and he's going to manifest himself right here. But it also says, you know, if you got something wrong between you and another brother or another sister, you know, it even says if you're going to come and pray, don't go praying if you got issues and things that are unworked out in the body. And it says you don't discern the body of Christ. So the body of Christ isn't just the body of Jesus. It can also be this body. And you know, when you have issues and unresolved offenses and things, and you allow things to come between you and another brother or sister, you're not discerning the body. You're not discerning that, you know, they're a child of God. I'm a child of God. And when you allow unresolved issues and offenses to go on and you continue to take sacraments and continue to manifest communion, covenant fellowship, and you really don't have a heart that's right with other people, it says that you're really harming yourself. Wow, is this ever awesome today? We got a pitter-patter there, a little... Well, I was heavy. Honest to goodness, I'm going to be so happy next week, you know. And we're all happy this week. Who's helping me at the table? Who's helping me? Get a head start on mine. All right, here we go. Okay, I'm really serious as a pastor right now. I really am. I want there to be a white Christmas, but you know, we can go, hey, let's all have a white Christmas, okay? Hey, everybody, let's have a white Christmas this year. Let's all have a white Christmas, amen? You're good, I'm good. You know, sometimes if you're going to have a white Christmas, you really got to be willing to look at some things seriously and say, wow, I'm not taking this into my future. I'm not allowing that baggage to hang around in my life anymore. I'm going to deal with it. Can I get an amen? Can I get a thank you, Jesus? Hallelujah. How you doing? Now just take a second. Say, oh, come on. Look at my heart, Lord. Even as David came to you and said, come on, let's have a little examination here. Even as you said to Isaiah and you said, let's reason together right now. Father, if I got anything that I've been carrying around, I don't need to be carrying around. If I've got issues and unresolved conflict, I've kind of made friends with it, and it's okay, you know, and I'm all right with it, you know. And I know that, you know, offenses come and things come, but you know, I'm always going to choose that it's going to be a white Christmas. I'm going to keep short accounts with me and with you and with everything, and I just want to keep my relationships horizontally and vertically. I just want to keep them really white. I want to keep them clean. Lord, we want a white Christmas this year. Lord, we choose to forgive right now in Jesus' name. We choose to release right now in Jesus' name. And Father, forgive me for being touchy. Forgive me for having those arguments in my head with people and they weren't even invited. Forgive me for being oversensitive. Forgive me, Lord, for, you know, demanding, you know, my own way. Father, in Jesus' name, just come. I release, I just let go right now. Any place, I'm not going to give a foothold for any offense. I just want to release it now and let it go. And I may still have the memory, I still may have the maybe a very hurtful thing that I've got to let go of today, but I thank you that I can do it because you've forgiven me. And I can do it because you've flooded me with your love. So I right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to let it go right now. I'm going to let it go right now. Thank you for touching me. I forgive and I release, and I thank you that I can partake right now of the body of Christ. And now those wounds that are there, those wounds speak for my healing and for my freedom, and I eat to absolute clarity and freedom and total deliverance right now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's eat together. Blood of a new covenant. We thank you for this cup, represents your blood. And I thank you that your blood was shed for me. And I thank you that there's power in the blood and there's victory in the blood. And I thank you for what the blood does. And I thank you that the blood has completely covered and separated me from any type of sin and has made me so totally acceptable to you. And there's total remission for every sin because of your blood. So I thank you that you paid the price, and I thank you that I am free in Jesus' name. So I again affirm and declare my freedom. I declare this, the blood of Jesus. It's the blood alone that has given me wonderful access to you. And I thank you for the blood. And it is enough. And I celebrate this, that your life for my life, that I can walk in the fullness of what you called me to be. So I drink right now to celebrate this covenant blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey. Stand up with me, will you? Stand up. I'm gonna pray for you. I'm gonna love on you. Wednesday night, we do got our small groups again. And then don't forget, next week's a big weekend. We got some real special talent going on for you on Sunday night, our Sunday night banquet. Get tickets, bring friends. We're gonna have a lot of fun. You're gonna have a lot of fun. And then don't forget to bring somebody. Bring some folks next Sunday morning, because we're going to see people accept Jesus and love on Jesus, all right? So, you know, if you need Jesus today, would you come? We're going to have people up here. They're coming right now. They're coming right this minute. There's people that are coming. They're going to stand up here, and they're ready to pray for you. They're ready to minister to you. But if you don't know him and you would like to know him, you come, and we can pray for you, and we can lead you into the knowledge of his saving grace. But, you know, maybe you're here today, and you've done all of that, and you've been through communion, been through the table, but you'd still like somebody to pray for you. Maybe there is some issue, there is some offense, or there's something that you feel like I'd like somebody to minister to me a little further on an issue. Maybe there's something you need prayer about. There's a concern. Maybe you just have a personal concern that you, would you lift this up with me? There's people here ready to pray for you and help you, and they can do that. So I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to dismiss you, but if you need to come to the altar, it's open for you today. So come and let these folks minister to you, okay? Well, Father, we just thank you for your goodness. I thank you that you've made a white Christmas possible. I thank you that you said that you will wash me whiter than snow. And so, Lord, we thank you that I am forgiven. I am totally free. And because of that freedom, I can live in total forgiveness. I can arm myself with the mind of Christ. I can arm myself with the same attitude you had when you said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And Lord, help us to go through our lives with that mindset, to not walk in offense, to not hold on to those things, but to constantly turn these things over to you and to arm ourselves with your heart, your mind, and your attitude. So, Father, right now, I bless each and every one here. I bless them with the wonderful love of the Father. I loose upon them the grace of Jesus that enables and empowers. And, Father, I thank you that you've given us Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're my partner every moment of the day to walk with me and to empower me and to breathe the life of God through me. So I loose these people right now. Surround them with your peace and grace. Send them forth to do your bidding, to serve your kingdom. In Jesus' precious name, amen.